Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Wendy, I'm home.
I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire!
Go to hell and take your friends with you!
Carpet Day!
Huh?
No!
Get off my plane.
Finally ready to go. Yep.
Yes.
Cool. Hello and welcome to Movies Dream Team. My name is Finn. That's Mr. Smith, Mr. Lee Smith. We are back. We're carrying on with our Friday the 13th series, and we're up to part seven.
Yes, part seven.
Part seven. Okay. Let's just get it out of the way at the beginning. This episode might be a bit sketchy. Maybe not our usual format. I didn't really have time to sort of properly write a script, as it were. I have watched the film, so there's that. I was very not well yesterday. I was very hungover when I watched the film. I wasn't in a great mood because of the hangover, and I'll say this right now, I fucking hate this film. So it was like,
it's not a good hangover film.
Fuck, why I hate this. So yeah, but we'll see, we'll try, we'll see how this goes. Maybe more of a Mr. Smith led episode. I'll just hang on, I'll be here, and off you go. I'm joking. So, I mean, yeah, we don't make money doing this, so
clearly,
you know, we're allowed to half-ass it every now and then.
Yeah.
Anyway, Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood.
Yeah.
From 1988. Mm-hmm. Was that just a year after Jason Lives?
I believe so.
Which we enjoyed.
Yeah, which was...
It was stupid.
So it's Friday the 13th.
It was fun.
Go.
Yeah.
It was a fun film.
Yeah. This one is directed by John Carl Buechler.
Yeah.
Buechler. Yeah. And it stars Terry Kissett. No. Oh, I can't even read fucking... Even what I've written down is like, that's not right. It's Terry Kaiser.
Yes.
Who is Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
Also stars Jennifer Banco, who was in Barb Wire.
She was.
Yes.
Yeah. I only noticed that when I looked it up on.
Yeah, she's
IMDb.
Only a child in this one.
Yeah.
But yeah. And La Park Lincoln.
Apparently.
That's her name. La Park Lincoln.
Yeah.
And other people I've never heard of. Oh, but Kane Hodder.
This is Kane Hodder's first.
Yeah. Outing as Jason.
Outing in the mask.
Which is weird because you always assume. I would argue Kane Hodder is the most famous Jason.
Yeah, got to be.
Yeah, but he didn't show up till part seven.
Yeah.
To play Jason.
But I mean, there's lots of like the hockey mask doesn't even show up till part three, and everyone just assumes that.
I suppose. Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell. it's all going wrong. But yeah, he didn't. He didn't show up till. This particular episode.
Film.
Well, episode.
Okay. The plot of this film, Beeth.
The plot, Beeth. Just when you thought Friday the 13th couldn't get any dumber, Jason Voorhees is accidentally freed from his watery prison by a telekinetic teenager.
Say what?
Now, only she can stop him. Yeah.
So at the end of the last film, Jason was essentially chained to a rock at the bottom of Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah.
And he was just left there.
Just left there.
But we know he was alive.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, blinked.
Yes.
Yeah. So, all right. This is where we're going. So, this film begins with clips of all the previous movies.
For like 3.5 minutes.
It's like a clip show.
Yeah. It's like, what you missed on last week's episode.
Yeah, on the last 7 years of Friday the 13th, here's what happened. And there is also a narration.
Yeah.
Now, we've never had any narration before the beginning of the Friday the 13th movie, but this film, they have a narrator speaking at the beginning.
Yeah.
And he says, I got this bit down, there's a legend round here, a killer buried but not dead. A curse on Crystal Lake, a death curse. Jason Voorhees is his curse. They say he died as a boy, but he keeps coming back. Few have seen him and lived. Some have even tried to stop him. No one can. People forgot he's down there, waiting. Cue the titles.
Yeah.
Yep. And the titles are just literally white text on a black background.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, it's very...
We can't be arsed.
Cheap.
Yeah. Kind of like this episode.
Yeah. It's basically like, there's a theme.
Mm. Yeah, if you can't be bothered to make the film properly, we won't be bothered to do this episode properly. So, yeah, there's sort of... I mean, yeah, we've seen it before with the clip show beginning, but this is all of them. And the narration is like, who's this?
Yeah.
Who is this guy? He's not a character. Because in Takes Manhattan, it begins with a little narration thing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Again, from a disembodied voice. It's not a character or anyone. It's no one that's been in any of the previous films.
Yeah. I know who it is.
Who is it?
It was one of the bits of info I pulled up for the end. But it's, do you remember Crazy Ralph?
Yeah.
It's him. It's the actor who played him.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he's Crazy Ralph, but comes back for a narrator cameo.
Yeah, but it's obviously not in the character of Ralph.
No.
Because if it was, it would have been like, you're all doomed! I told them they were doomed! Look at all these clips
of
people being doomed!
Arguably better.
Yeah.
There's a death curse here! All you're gonna die! He wasn't Scottish.
He wasn't Scottish, but it just sounds funnier.
Yeah, but yeah, it's him. It's him.
Oh, right, cool. So, we now have Crystal Lake, and Jason is still under the water.
Yep.
Right? And there's a family that live there. Yeah. So, Camp Crystal Lake, it must be massive. Yep. Like, sorry, the lake itself must be massive.
Yeah.
Because it's not only surrounded by numerous summer camps... but also
all built next to each other.
Yeah,
to
but also residential.
Yeah,
places.
Loads of residential.
Like
areas.
What was the one with Corey Feldman in, where they lived in those two houses opposite each other, just in the woods.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that, and there's a house, well, two houses, but not the same ones, somewhere else on the lake, and we've got this family there, and they're arguing because the father is an abusive alcoholic. Isn't he beating up the mum?
But it's signposted as well, the whole argument. It's an argument that would never happen.
Right.
And it's like, please stop drinking. Oh! It's so stupid.
That's abusive.
Yeah. Stop gaslighting me. It's an argument you'd never argue by just pointing out one of those things.
So you've got drunk dad beating up mum, and there's the little girl, Tina, and she runs away from the house, right? And she runs off to the lake and gets in a rowboat to leave.
Yeah.
She's like 10 years old. Yeah. Right, I'm going. Starts rowing
row
away.
Out to the middle of the lake.
Yeah, off I go. And then the father runs after her, and he runs out onto like
the jetty.
A pontoon kind of thing. No, yeah, it's a jetty, isn't it? It goes out into the water.
Yeah.
And he's standing on the end of it. And then the little girl kills her dad with her mind.
Yeah. Like the whole jetty starts.
Yeah. She
shaking.
Gets emotional and angry because she's like, Daddy, no! And then
she pulls a face.
Yeah. And squint eye. Yeah. And the jetty and everything collapses and he falls in the lake, but this kills him.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Apparently so.
Yes. So now we fast forward to Tina as a teen.
This is, I fucking bust out laughing at the moment because Tina's like, she goes, like, and her mum goes, are you all right? And she's like, yeah, I'm fine. Just dreaming about murdering dad. She's like, yeah, I'm okay.
So Tina, flash forward, Tina is now a teenager with her mum and she has been in a hospital for years.
Yeah, as have all of the main antagonists.
Yes. But she is going back to that house at Crystal Lake to see Dr. Cruz, who is Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's. Yes. So
and the level of acting is pretty much the same.
They get back to this house, and outside they meet Nick, the young guy next door.
Oh, yeah, there's a house next door with the body count, basically. They're like having some sort of party.
Yeah, it is. It's similar to the one with Corey Feldman, where there's only two houses. Yeah. One of them a family lives in. The other one is the party house.
Yeah, you've got to populate these films with people to kill, so here they are.
So Tina is going back and she's seeing things, and in the house we meet Dr. Cruz, who is instantly like, this guy's up to something.
Yeah, he's got some sort of...
And Tina has Jedi mind powers.
Yeah. Rubbish ones. But
yeah, she can light a box of matches.
Yeah. He's like, well, yeah, it's like something out of Evil Dead, like met the third one, Army of Darkness. He's like, concentrate on the matchbook, and it goes across the fucking
And then when
table.
She gets angry at Dr. Cruz, because he's obviously such a piece of shit human being, the book of matches just ignites.
Flames,
so
she's a human lighter.
Yeah, it's basically it's Carrie. It's very Carrie, actually. So Carrie.
Was this around the same time as Carrie?
No, this Carrie was like out. This is like nearly 10 years afterwards.
All right.
Carrie was like 79, I think.
Oh, of course. So yeah, I mean, the character's pretty much, the whole concept of Tina's character is lifted from it.
Yeah, or what was that other one?
Firestarter?
Yeah.
Stephen King, basically.
Yeah, basically. So yeah, next door, also there's a van with some people banging in it.
Yeah.
That's the end of that scene. That's literally the scene.
Yeah, that is it.
It cuts over some people banging in a van. They make a joke about, isn't sex fun? And then that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Family house. House of horny teens. And and then it comes back to the house, and Tina has just stood there crying, looking at a picture of her dad.
Yeah.
Because they've still got framed pictures of the alcoholic abuser on the wall.
This house has pretty much been left untouched for like 10 years or however long this has been. Fairly clean as well. But yeah, pictures of her dad and everything else. It's basically like as they left it.
And her and her mom were just like, I miss him. I miss him too.
Yeah.
He
used to beat you.
Yeah. We know this. This is a fact.
You've established him as a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah. But because you killed him, you feel
now,
bad.
Now
I'm imagine like, Mom, I miss him. I don't.
Yeah. That would have been way more realistic. Yeah.
Your father was a piece of shit.
Our life's been fucking great since. Well, apart from the whole hospitalization.
And also, they never mention anything about Jason and like the previous events that have happened in this area.
Not even mentioned.
Yeah, not mentioned. Like, you know, we haven't been here in 10 years. Anything gone down whilst we've been away? No.
Nothing at all. No, everything's been fine.
Yeah. So Tina runs off again to the lake, and she has a flashback of what happened like 10 minutes ago in the film.
Yeah.
It's like, we've just seen this, but now we're getting flashbacks. Like, Daddy! And And she says, I wish I could bring you back from falling in the lake.
Yeah. She tries to wish him back to life.
Yeah. So obviously her, like, telekinesis is triggered when she gets emotional.
Yeah, this is...
And so she gets emotional about her abusive father being dead, and she wishes, whilst crying, that she could bring him back. But this brings back Jason.
Jason, yeah. So is Jason her dad?
Wrong guy.
Yeah.
And he breaks free from his chain.
Yeah, I mean, how does that work? Like, she wishes... Jason sees the wish. And like, oh, I'll have that.
There's a bit because she's crying, right, whilst it's kind of building up. And I was just like, oh, my God. If, like, her tear hits the lake and that is what brings him back, I'm going to just, like, flip this fucking down.
It's such a dumb
concept.
It
might as well be. She's like, I wish you were alive. It's like, well, I'm the only dead one around here, so I guess she means me. All right, here I go.
Maybe that suggests that her dad didn't die. Maybe. He's not in the lake. It's just Jason.
I mean, yeah, maybe. Maybe what really happened was the father fell into the water from the jetty of, like, what, 4 feet? And was like, oh, I'm soaked and I'm freezing. You know what? Fuck this family. Yeah. I'm leaving. But the mum was like, he dies.
Yeah. And it was your fault.
And it was your fault. Because she was so, like, trapped in the relationship.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he just left.
Saw him trodge out the water like,
and he was like, fuck you all. I'm leaving. And he got in his car soaking wet, drove off, and was never seen again.
Yeah.
But the mum was like, died.
He died as a result of your mind powers.
Yes, it's your fault he's gone. And so, he was never really dead. He wasn't in the lake. Jason was the only dead person in there. So it was like,
I accept.
Yeah. I volunteer as tribute.
I'll be your daddy. Let's go. Anything to get off this fucking chain and rock.
Oh my god. So yeah, Jason comes back to life and he surfaces and
in a flurry of fart bubbles. Yeah, like, Windy pops Jason.
Yeah, been holding that in a while. That's how he gets to the surface. Yeah, breaks the chain somehow. Yeah. And he resurfaces. Tina sees this, she goes, "Ooh," and runs away.
Well, she faints, doesn't she? Like she kind of passes out. And then she wakes up on the sofa.
Yeah.
Like, and the doc's there and her mum's there. And she's like, she says, she goes, "There was a man." She goes, "I can't describe him. This is Jason." Like, the most describable person in the history of cinema. He wears a hockey mask.
What do you look like? No idea.
Yeah.
See, and the imagine doc- when they see him, you couldn't describe that.
Yeah, exactly.
The really big guy in the hockey
He's
mask.
Like 8 foot tall in a hockey mask. And then the doctor goes, "Well, I think you've manifested a vision of your dad." Mention the hockey mask!
She does say, "This has nothing to do with my father."
Yeah.
Like, it does. Yes, it does, because that's the reason you were crying and you were trying to bring... So it's everything to do with... Your existence right now is all to do with your father.
Yeah, it's such a dumb fucking thing.
Did he look like your dad?
No, he's like 3 foot taller, wearing a hockey mask, with a big fuck-off chain around his neck.
Meanwhile, there's a couple... off in the woods, and their car breaks down, and then they argue, right? That's happening. And then Nick arrives at Tina's, right? So it turns out this part, Nick obviously is like, "Hey, when I come to a party?" This party house next door is all there for cousin Michael.
Mm-hmm.
This is Nick's cousin Michael, and he's the one whose car's broken down. Yeah, and he's, So that's why they're all there. It's a surprise party. And so Tina decides to go to the party because Nick's like, "Would you like to come and maybe we bang?"
Yeah.
And Dr. Cruz doesn't like this because he's evil.
Yeah.
He's like, is it Papa in Stranger Things?
Yeah.
He's like, "No, you're mine."
Yeah. So it doesn't want her socializing with other people for no real reason.
Yeah, and the mum's like, "Wasn't the point of this is trying to get back to some normality?"
Like, he's like,
"Yeah, but not with other people, with me." But I want to keep this young teenager with me in this house, locked in.
At all times.
Yes, at all times, yes. It's very Lolita.
Yeah, it's fucking, it's weird. Because there's no, it doesn't, like, you can't figure out the motivation for it at all.
No. It's sort of... What's he got to gain from this?
Yeah.
Other than, like, I have discovered there is somebody with Jedi mind powers.
Yeah.
Which we know.
There's
clear evidence of it. I'm guessing he's trying to control her and possibly, like, maybe
become
somehow...
become rich and famous.
Yeah, or use the powers to his advantage. I don't know. It never really goes into it. We've gone into it more than the film ever did.
Yeah, it's not fleshed out at all.
So, where do we get to? Yeah, Dr. Cruz doesn't like this, but she goes to the party. Cousin Michael and his girlfriend, they are walking to the house past these big sign that says Crystal Lake, 5 miles.
Yeah.
And then Michael decides he has to go for a pee. Jason starts killing.
Yeah.
Basically, is what I read. He just shows up and he kills them.
Michael walks about 20 minutes away to go for a piss for some reason in the woods when there's nobody else about.
How does he kill Mike? I can't remember.
Well, he stabs... what is her name? Who cares?
Who cares?
Stabs her with, like, I think it's a tent peg or something that he's found, like, and pins her to the tree. And then Michael, like, sees her and then starts... But, Michael, like, sees him and goes, and starts running away at barely a skipping pace. Like, Jason's just casually strolling, and Michael's like, "Oh, no, he's catching up with this." He's like, "Yeah, he would do."
But, are you even going to try? And then, I did notice Jason still has his tool belt from the previous movie, because obviously he was wearing that, like, thing. So he's got his, like, throwing daggers and shit.
Well, that's it. It's the thing again, because he pulls it out of the girl, and then eventually he gets bored with this snail pace, like, chase, and he just goes, like, lobs it at Michael and stabs him with it.
So they're dead.
Yes.
Over at the party, there's this nerd there, and he's pitching his script to Tina. Is it a script or a book he's written?
I think it's a script.
It's a script. It's some sci-fi screenplay he's written. And he starts reading it to
this
her.
This is Eddie.
Oh, it's Eddie. Yeah, Eddie is awful.
Yeah.
Tina then has visions of one of the partygoers getting murdered by Jason.
Why? just before this, like, Nick brings Tina in to introduce her to everybody in the kitchen. And he's very touchy-feely for somebody he's just met 5 minutes ago, because this is Tina, like, like rubbing her arm. Like, it's like, fucking hell. But yeah, and then in the middle of the kitchen, she's like, sees Michael getting stabbed up.
Yeah. So she has these visions of Jason killing. I don't know why. She doesn't know. Remember, she doesn't know who Jason Voorhees is.
Has no
doesn't know he's a killer.
At all.
Doesn't even know what he looks like, apparently.
No, he can't describe him. Still, in that vision, can't describe what he looks like.
It's like, I had a vision of that guy I saw, or the one you can't describe.
Yeah.
What do you look like? Oh.
I'd love it if, like, you could just see, like, that Michael getting stabbed and Jason's just blurred out slightly.
Yeah, so she has these the visions. One of the parties goes in. So she runs back to Mum and Dr. Cruz, who just think she's crazy.
Yeah.
Which is that a common trope in all these films. But she is crazy, because she's having visions for no reason.
No reason at all, and wildly unobservant.
Yes.
There's also a weird bit in this party, because, like, this is kind of where we get introduced to all of the dead people.
The soon-to-be dead.
Sassy Melissa, who's just a cunt, for want of a better word. And then you've got...
You've got the stoner.
David, who drinks a beer wrong. Like, he gets a beer out of the fridge and he's like...
I remember there's one that fancies the stoner because he's a stoner.
Yeah, that's...
he's such a bad boy. And then she's...
Robin.
Yeah.
And then Maddie is like...
The nerd friend. So yeah, Robin's nerd friend is whatever her name is. She's like, oh, why do you like him? Like, he's such a bad boy. Because he smokes weed. Yeah. And her
it's
nerdy
got a
friend,
drinking problem. He can't get it in his mouth.
The nerd friend is like, you know, shorter, glasses.
Yeah,
she's not great looking. she's a nerd. Anyway, meanwhile, there is another couple, I'm pretty sure unrelated to any of the other characters. They're out camping in the woods. Jason kills them. And he kills the girl by the sort of... I'm pretty sure he does this in more than one film, but this is the first time where she's in the sleeping bag and he just slams the sleeping bag with her in it.
One of his most famous kills.
Against the tree. And he just kills the other guy. So
the guy does a weird, like, fucking Terminator impression, like, just before he goes, I'll be back, and goes looking for wood. And then, like, Jason, I think, he punches a hole through him.
Oh, nice.
And then he goes back to the tent and, like, walks around it and then cuts it open, and bashes her. Yeah, it's a cool kill.
It is cool.
I almost feel the one in Jason X is better.
Yeah, it must have been that one I'm thinking of. Like, hasn't he done this before? All right.
Yeah.
Okay, back at the party, still going on. The nerd is still going on about his stupid sci-fi story, and anyway, the next day, Nick and Tina are by the lake chatting shit, and Tina basically says, I'm a mental person.
Yeah, well, Nick tries to, like, he goes, well, all right, I'll tell you about... She doesn't even ask. I'll tell you about my background. Yeah. And he's like, I was hanging out with a bad crowd. My dad kicked me out, and now I go to night school. Those are the exact words.
Yeah.
And she's like, all right, killed my dad. Yeah. And I've been in a hospital ever since.
Yeah.
And
he's also, like, they're being watched by Melissa's watch. Melissa's like the one that she wants a piece of Nick.
Yeah.
And she's spying on them. Anyway.
Yeah, she's a bunny boiler.
Yeah. And then Nick and Tina kiss.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not like... It's weird because the conversation it's not even flirtatious. It's not even leading up to a kiss. So they then stop talking and then just kind of look at each other like, okay, let's kiss.
Yeah.
What?
Like, he disarms it with a joke because they hear a twig snap and he kind of walks over and he comes back and he goes, I saw something. It was a pink elephant. And they go, and then kiss. And like,
oh, because she's mental.
Yeah.
Ah.
I'm laughing at your mental instability.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
it's dumb as fuck.
Later, they're all having a barbecue. One of the girls is super into one of the... Oh, I've already mentioned that because he smokes weed. Yep. Tina arrives and the girl who was... Oh, so Tina arrives at the house, the party house, and the girl, Melissa, who was spying on her, makes fun of her for being in a mental hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Tina uses her Jedi mind power to break Melissa's necklace.
Yeah, I know. It's like there's a billion other things you could have done, possibly. Maybe make her head explode. No, just rip her necklace off. Could have done that physically.
Yeah, it just kind of her pearls just going to and yeah. come off.
And for some reason, this is wildly like, because Melissa's on the floor clutching at him. Doesn't look expensive.
No.
Gotta be honest. Just leave it.
The Tina goes back to her house and she freaks out, and Dr. Cruz refuses to let her leave. And then, yeah, so Dr. Cruz, evil, he won't let Tina leave the house. And so Tina uses the force or whatever to throw a television at him.
Yeah, this is at this stage in my notes is where I started referring to this as mind lobs. Like she mind lobs a telly at him.
Later that night, we have another couple and they're taking in the night air. They're by the lake and naturally the girl gets naked and goes skinny dipping.
Yeah, and the bloke is Dennis from only Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Is it? Just,
it's not actually him, but with the hair, and, like, he's wearing the shirt and with the jumper and the sweater over it, it's fucking Dennis. Like, I never learned his real name, so I've just referred to him as Dennis from here on in.
No, man, he's about to die. And yeah, so naturally, yeah. Jason shows up and he kills them both.
Hacks him in the face with an axe.
Yeah,
and then he goes for a swim with Sandra, is the girl.
Ah.
Goes for a swim with Sandra and, like, drowns her.
Nice.
Yeah,
over at the party, there's another fucking party. The nerdy girl, remember her from earlier, the ugly one with the glasses. She goes upstairs and she takes off her glasses and starts putting on makeup.
Yeah,
it's that
it's the old trope.
Yeah, what's that Freddie Prinze Jr. film?
Oh, She's All That.
She's All That.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you're beautiful.
Yeah, and then the girl that made fun of Nick says she's in love with him. The one that was watching, it's Melissa, that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Melissa's like, Nick, I'm in love with you. And he tells her, I don't even like you.
Yeah, which like, is kind of cool.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not even like...
And she's like has nothing to do with it.
Like, slag. He does. Like, I don't even like you as a person.
Yeah.
So now that she's been rejected by Nick, she goes and seduces the nerdy sci-fi guy.
Yeah, she decides that's going to make him jealous.
Yeah.
He's literally just said, I have no feelings about you in any way.
Yeah, no.
you may as well not exist.
Christ.
We got Ben and Kate, like, who just appeared, like, at some stage. They're another couple that seem to be having issues.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and they're talking about, their issues are that he went out with his mate instead of her, so, you know, calm down. But yeah, they've just appeared at this party and they're sort of chatting away.
Dr. Cruz, meanwhile, he discovers some dead bodies whilst Tina's mum discovers some stuff of her own that Dr. Cruz is kind of a shitbag.
They find the metal spike in his drawer. Tina's mum finds the metal spike in the doctor's drawer.
Yeah, what the fuck is that about?
Right, after Tina had the vision of, like, Jason killing Michael with the metal spike.
Right.
He comes home and there's a metal spike in the door.
Right.
And then it's gone. She goes, like, well, I've got proof. And they go back and it's not there anymore.
Right.
And then it's in his drawer. Like, there's no... Again, what's the motivation for this? It makes no fucking sense.
So Tina's mum has discovered this, that he's been hiding shit. And Dr. Cruz is like, he's discovered some dead bodies around. Obviously, he's not going to tell anyone because why would he?
Yeah.
No. Tina hears all of this and she steals a car and drives off.
Yeah.
And then as she's driving off, she has a vision of Jason killing her mum in the middle of the road. It's just a vision. And she crashes the car.
Yeah.
Yes. Meanwhile, the ugly nerdy girl has finished doing her makeup and she's still ugly.
Yeah. It hasn't.
Unfortunate looking.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. She's about to die. But not before losing her earring and having a body drop down in front of her from nowhere.
She goes looking for David, who's the stoner guy.
Right.
Right. Again, there's no context for this. She just goes out into the woods to look for him. Why does she think he's outside?
Yeah.
She literally leaves the bedroom. She looks at herself. She's like,
David
needs a touch up. And then she walks straight into the woods going, David, look. Why?
Didn't David go off with her friend Robin?
Yeah, they're in bed.
Yeah.
So why has she just gone... It doesn't, like, show anything. Like, she's just outside looking for him.
Yeah.
It's mental.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then she's like, my earring.
Yeah, right. She's like, oh, my earring is missing. And then she's like a Daphne, like, looking for it, finds her earring, and then a body just drops down from a tree. I don't even know whose fucking body this is.
I think it's the camping bloke.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's Dennis because he has the whole cut face.
And then
Jason just goes behind another tree.
Yeah, he kills her. And then Mum and Dr. Cruz, they find Tina's crash car, but she's run off. And then we get lots of teens banging and dying. There's like three couples of teens all having sex at the same time.
Yeah.
And we're cutting between back and forth between the three.
Yeah.
Before they all just die.
Yeah.
The black guy gets his head crushed.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that were arguing.
He thinks Michael's finally turned up, so he goes looking for him. And he's like, come on, it's your surprise party. And Jason's like, surprise, and crushes his skull. And then the nerd gets rejected. Kill. Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, Eddie gets rejected.
Even though he's, like, in bed with her, ready to go. Yeah. She's just like, yeah, she's there.
Like, oh, no, no.
Yeah.
Like, so I was just using you to make Nick jealous, but he doesn't care.
Yeah. And then, yeah, everyone just kind of gets killed. And Nick and Tina, they find cousin Michael's body.
Yeah.
And then this is where I just fucking gave up on this piece of shit. It was like, this is so bad. This is, I think, the worst one. Because all these films just fell into the trope of just doing the same fucking shit over and over again.
Yeah.
And then we got to Jason Lives, which had a totally different tone to it. It was very kind of tongue-in-cheek and self-aware.
Yep.
It was a lot of fun. And then after that, they just went straight back to the same shit.
This feels very much like, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe this is around the sort of time where all the behind-the-scenes stuff happened, when about who owned what and everything else. So this was like, it's not New Line, was it? It was
Paramount that owned it.
Yeah, it was just like throwing out movies so they could keep hold of the rights.
Kind of like Sony doing with Spider-Man now.
Yes, basically. So yeah, and this is very much a, like, it doesn't, I mean, the dialogue and everything else, like, it's kind of frustrating, like, when you're like, fucking hell, like, if it's this easy to get a movie made, like did anyone read this script? The dialogue's terrible, like, everything about it is just awful. It is just a thrown together pastiche of different ways to kill people.
Mm. And then, I mean, for the rest of this film, it's pretty much just people running around, getting killed. I'll let you go into a bit more detail in a minute, but I'll just say fucking bit at the end. Unless I fucking imagined it, it gets to the end. Everyone's being killed, and she's facing off against Jason. And then, unless it was some kind of fever dream or I was still like way out of it, her dead dad does indeed return to help her out.
Yep. That happens. That fucking happened. No, I was fucking rolling around when that happened. Like, it's just, it kind of, I mean, there's a lot of shit in this film, but I was not expecting that.
Yeah. Literally, he smashes up through the jetty.
Like, yeah, like the Hulk.
Yeah.
Like, covered in, like, green slime.
Yeah, like.
And just grabs Jason and then pulls him under.
Yeah, just like, no, I'm the daddy now. Yeah. You had your chance, you lousy drunk.
It's so weird.
Daddy does indeed. So she, hang on. So she can bring people back to life with her.
Apparently so. Yeah. She's brought Jason and her dad back.
Yeah. So what was her dad doing this whole time? And how did she, like, so she must have, I'm assuming, brought them both back to life. At the same time, because that's the only time she was like,
well, yeah, that's the only time the wishing.
Yeah, the wishing.
Everybody was alive. Happened.
Yeah. So what's the dad been doing throughout the events? Just hanging out.
Just waiting for his moment.
Yeah.
He's just underneath that fucking little jetty. Yeah. Like, he's going to come over here in a minute.
Well, he had, like,
kind of like Tommy in the last one, just waiting with the chain.
Yeah, or he just had no intention of coming back because he's a lousy, drunk, abusive person. And then it got to the end when it was like, oh, right, well, as he's right there, I'll just grab him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No worries.
He's done the bare fucking minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically. Which it seems to be the way he did his whole fathering.
Yeah, basically. Did anything else happen? Interesting happen between the dad and the end?
Not really. As you mentioned, I mean, it's mostly like
people just
lots of killing. I mean, there's a fairly fun, after he kills Ben and then Kate's hanging out the window, he kills her with like a kazoo. Like, jams it in her eye. David's killed when he goes for a sandwich. It's not great. Eddie's just like fucking sat down. I don't know, again, this is always makes me wonder about these films. I don't know how big this fucking house is, because Jason's just in the kitchen there, which, like, from other shots, like established shots, I believe you can see into the kitchen from the living room.
Right.
But he's killed David there. The entire time that he's doing that, Eddie's been sat in the living room having a strop, like an opening presents that were.
Oh, yeah, he starts opening Michael's presents.
Like a penis enlarger, like it's a present or something.
It's a magnifying glass.
And then, and then fucking Jason eventually wanders into the living room and is like, how have you not heard me? Stab. Like, kills him. But yeah, then Tina has some more visions.
Yeah.
But there's a weird bit where Robin, the girl who was sleeping with, she goes looking for David, goes into David's room, which is all like messy with like bongs and stuff all over the place.
Yeah.
And she hears something. She thinks he's in this like closet. She opens up the closet and a cat jumps out. Now, this closet is like, imagine this, but with a door on it.
Right.
Like, you couldn't get anybody in there. So somebody's physically put that cat in there. And she's like, oh, are you David's cat? If he keeps it in there. But yeah, and then she gets killed. There's a fun bit where Tina is fighting Jason with her mind-lobbing powers. And she finds David's head in a plant pot, launches the entire plant pot at him.
Not now. Yeah, it was very much a lot of... I remember she, at one point, she uses her powers to bring down some electrical cables and put them in a puddle
that Jason's
standing in.
Yeah, to electrocutes him to death, which she clearly didn't see the last film because that's how he came back to life.
Yeah. Which makes more sense than this bullshit.
Yeah, she shuts the door on Jason at one point and he just opens it again. And then, like... Then she smashes him in the face with a light fixture and he falls through the stairs, which from the ease of which he fell through those stairs, they were a lawsuit waiting to happen. And then, yeah, she uses her powers like again to lynch him, like, and hangs him from the... Just leave him hanging. Like, he'll probably die. But no, she lets him drop 3 feet and assumes that kills him. Doesn't. Then she sets him on fire. Then the house explodes. This is a house powered by a fuel burner, a wood burner underneath, and electricity. There's no gas here. But it fucking explodes. Jason still gets out. This is one of my favourite bits. Nick and Tina are back on the jetty, and they're like, oh, we'd best get out of here. And I mean, there's... Like, they're looking forwards, and then suddenly Jason's like, ah! They could have seen him coming.
But she doesn't know what he looks like.
Yeah. She thought he was somebody else. Who's this guy?
Is that the guy? I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, at this point, he has lost his mask.
Oh, I remember the mask coming off, yeah. You see
she,
a
he
lot
tries
of...
to shrink it, with she mind shrinks it, and it's like cutting into his face, and then it just splits.
Yeah.
And then he like
he looks like
without
a
it.
Weird dinosaur or something. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like one of those boglins. Do you remember boglins?
Yes, I do remember boglins, yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of about it, yeah. And then the dad bit happens.
Yeah. Daddy comes back, finally. And
inexplicable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it.
So what did you think?
Yeah, this is a bad film. This is so bad.
Yeah, I hated it. Like, I don't particularly care for most of these films, but this is the first one, and maybe it's because of the state of mind I was in. I was like, I actively hate this.
I watched it in two parts, because the first night I started watching it, I got... About half an hour in, I was like, I feel like it was after work.
Mm.
I was like, I'm going to be going to bed soon. I don't want this to be all I do with my evening.
Yeah.
And then I watched the rest of it yesterday. But yeah, it's bad. There's not even, I mean, the kills aren't great. There's no blood in this film, really.
No, apart from like on the body.
Apart from on the body. But other than that, it's like almost every kill is off screen.
Yeah. Like, yeah, the nerd girl gets killed off screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a lot going on. Like I said, it just reverted back to the paint by numbers.
Yeah.
The only difference being like, oh, let's make it kind of like a Stephen King telekinesis thing. Like, how? Well, no, we'll just do it somehow. Yeah. It doesn't have to make sense. And then, yeah, the dead dad returning at the end was just fucking laughable. But yeah, this was
I feel this
bad.
Was like in a period in sort of the late 80s where there was like a... I'm sure there was a few films like which like the mind powers were all the rage, like, or TV shows or something or other. Like,
yeah.
I feel like this was kind of...
The Scanners come out around this time?
Possibly. Oh, no, wasn't that much earlier? But there was certainly... I do remember as a kid there being quite a lot of stuff to do with people with sort of mind powers.
Scanners came out in 81.
So, that, yeah, but...
Well, they're just late to the bandwagon.
Yeah. So this, it's just... It feels half-assed. It's a shame, because Kane Hodder does pose like quite the figure as Jason.
Yeah, he's a big dude, yeah.
And it's probably one of the best looks so far for Jason.
Mm.
Until the mask comes off, and then it just looks like a rubber face.
It looks fucking stupid. Yeah. It's like, keep the mask on.
Yeah.
I think that actually this isn't the lowest rated of them on IMDb. Jason Takes Manhattan has a lower rating than this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Jason Takes Manhattan's not a good film, but it's also way more fun than this.
Yeah, it's definitely more entertaining than this. I think the lowest rated is Jason Goes to Hell.
Which is next.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Jason Goes to Hell suffers from the same thing that Jason Takes Manhattan did, where the title lies.
Oh, all right. Well, do you have any trivia on this one?
I do. Absolutely. Yeah, the first one I had was about, what's his name? Yeah, Walt Gourney is the veteran actor who played Crazy Ralph in the original Friday 13th and Part 2. Is the voice of the narrator.
Yeah.
Right, so this film was originally intended to bring horror icons Jason Voorhees and Freddy Krueger together on screen for the first time.
Right.
That was the plan. However, when Paramount Pictures, which held the rights to Friday the 13th at the time, and New Line Cinema, which owned Nightmare on Elm Street, couldn't agree, the script was rewritten to pit Jason up against a telekinetic Tina Shepherd instead. Obviously that crossover wouldn't happen for another 15 years.
Yeah, and it sucked.
It was not... I don't hate that film, but also it's not what I wanted it to be.
No.
So Kane Hodder said he had difficulty with the scene where he kills the camper in the sleeping bag by bashing her into the tree because the dummy and the fake blood inside was heavier than he thought it would be. Scene required a number of retakes because he kept swinging as hard as he could, but no matter how hard he swung... the sleeping bag, he couldn't get it to look right. By the final take, he was so fed up that after he dropped the bag, he kicked it. And this is the shot that appears in the film.
Brilliant.
In retrospect, Hodder said that this was one of his favourite kills. He later recreated it in Jason X.
Yep.
So that was the only interesting stuff I could find, really. So it's quite interesting that it was supposed to be in Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah, don't they... Well, we'll get to Jason Goes to Hell, but I'm pretty sure there's a Freddy Krueger thing in
like
there.
Easter egg, I think.
Yeah, something or other.
I don't think I've ever seen Jason Goes to Hell, but
I think I have either.
At the end, Freddy's gloved hand comes up and pulls the mask under the ground or something.
Okay, cool. Did you have any comments on this from
couple.
Dear listeners?
So, My Little Slice of Hell said, awful.
Yep.
Angried up the blood. I don't know if that's a typo. Because I think, I'm assuming he means the same thing that I said, that there's not a lot of blood in it.
No, angried up as in, like, gets your blood boiling.
Oh, right, angried up the blood. Okay,
that's how bad it is.
Stark 2490 said, first time watching, wasn't a fan. After rewatches, like it a bit more, especially after reading the behind-the-scenes stuff. Famous horror locations, I think. It says, guilty pleasure.
Well, you know, if you can enjoy this, good for you.
Yeah.
I could not.
No, it was a slog to get through.
Yes. Anyway, that's about it for this episode. I know, like I said, we said it was going to be short and not great, but we will have a bonus track for you to sort of accompany this to make up for that's it.
By way of apology.
Yes, but we're going to be chatting about some recent stuff we've been watching, which has been a while since we did anything like that, just to sort of shoot the shit, as it were. We will see you next time for... Jason Goes to Hell. Is that the next one?
Well, technically, Jason takes Manhattan,
but we've already done that. So we'll put a link in to that one. So yeah, it's kind of like we're an episode ahead. We already did it.
Which after that one is a relief.
Yeah. maybe we'll re-upload it or something. Or I'll just put a link in there or something like that. And then, we're going to have a little bonus episode to keep you going. All right, we'll see you next time. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Well, thank you all for coming here tonight and drinking all of my booze. Oh, really. Please leave. The party's over. Get out.